flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. I am, as always, the head of the table, Sakisa, and this week it's just me solo, me and producer Tim. It's me and producer Tim. Have you been watching any wrestling, producer Tim?
I've been catching up. I've been watching a little bit to just like try and. I didn't know how much we'd be talking about it today, so I was like, "Oh, I should watch some."
Don't worry. As long as you have caught up with the story of the hour, which is the Bloodline. We love the Bloodline.
Yes.
I do have some issues with the Bloodline storyline heading into War Games at this moment in time, which is that they are adding extra members into the War Games match, which is it seems to be Bronson Reed, which has been confirmed, but it also seems to be Seth Rollins, which I'm not gonna lie, they don't need to be involved. It could have just been 4-on-4, family on family, with Sami Zayn. Obviously, he's technically family. In this situation, this only white man in this whole match is Sami Zayn. The whitest man ever in the Bloodline storyline. You know what? Let's give him a round of applause. The white man's always got to be involved, isn't it? The white man's always got to be involved.
It's about that representation. You got to get the representation in there.
Diversity. You know? The diversity. We need the diversity in the Bloodline storyline. Obviously, Paul Heyman is no longer here, which was actually a really interesting end to SmackDown last week when Roman Reigns went call the wise man, and it just turned out the wise man had changed his number or like has been disconnected. Roman Reigns' face at the end of it was hilarious. But I am really enjoying the conflict between the Bloodline. I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going. I think the most interesting vibe for me at this moment in time is, we did talk about this last week regarding the US Women's Championship tournament that's happening. Obviously, Bayley qualified last week. It seems to be, again, who is going to be the first ever US women's champion? It would be nice if it was Bayley, but I don't think, if we're talking about the landscape of the women's division, that she needs to be involved in this. It needs to go to someone, aka Chelsea Green. It needs to go to Chelsea Green. Mid-carders who need to be like pushing themselves forward, because there is a hierarchy, as we know, when it comes to wrestling, that they go lower into medium title reigns into full main event. Like, we've seen it with Gunther on the men's side. We've seen the progression when it happens to Rhea Ripley, because obviously she entered, what was that tournament that first ever happened? It was what? The Mae Young tournament. Was it Mae Young? I don't think it was Mae Young. Oh, it was the Fabulous Moolah? It was some sort of women's tournament, isn't it? I'm interested to see the landscape of the Bloodline. I'm interested to see the landscape of the Women's US Championship match, mainly because we are leading into the Netflix era for Raw. And how does that look for WWE? What is the situation? Are they going to have the main eventers? We're talking big names on Netflix, because obviously people like Kevin Owens, people get like Randy Orton, people like the Bloodline, aka Roman Reigns, Jimmy, and also obviously Universal Champion Cody Rhodes is currently on SmackDown. How is that going to be implicated within the Netflix deal? Is there going to be issues? Are we going to see crossovers continuously? I think we will, to be honest with you. The other thing that's happening in WWE at this moment in time, which is quite intriguing me, is obviously the New Day storyline. I did mention this before in previous episodes. I think it's I think it's Kofi that's going to turn. I actually think it's Kofi. I don't think it's going to be Xavier Woods. I think it's going to be Kofi that's going to turn. You're seeing these little sprinkles happen. And I do think in this day and age, I would love to see a heel Kofi. We've never seen a heel Kofi in years. I would love to see that. Obviously, we've got The Miz involved in the testament, the final testament, and the White Six stuff. We're going to see how that progresses. There was a weird segment on Raw, which involved the Alpha Academy and Kofi Kingston. And they're going to be facing off next week. Also, American Alpha. There was a weird segment that happened in there in the ring. Didn't really enjoy it. The Gunther stuff, though, at the moment in time, is very interesting. Gunther versus Damian Priest. Is it that how he's not as confident as you think he should be? What is the deal? I'm looking at it. I think this episode really is about AEW. That is the main focus at this moment in time. Bloodline is in a couple of weeks. Oh, also, Rhea Ripley returning too early. Great. Love the fact that Mammy's back. But did we really need... Because it would have made more sense if it was Bayley. It would have made more sense if it was Bayley, considering the plotline, storyline involved in the whole Nia Jax, Naomi SmackDown situation. They've brought back Mammy, brought back Rhea Ripley, which I love, but she's wearing this protective mask. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know how this is going to go in War Games. But War Games is in 2 weeks' time, so she does have enough time
She's wearing a mask. Wasn't it her shoulder that was injured?
So they keep making reference to she was previously injured with a shoulder injury. That was months ago. Right, and she came back and recovered from that. And then it was that how she injured. They kept saying this name, and I'm not gonna repeat the name because you know she's dyslexic. But they kept saying that she has a broken something, which is why she's got the face marks. I'm assuming it's the nose.
Oh, right, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's that because I'm not gonna lie to you. They keep saying this word, and I was like, I should really Google what this word is. I should really figure out what injury Rhea actually has.
Medical word, it's fine.
Medical words coming out. I was just like, because I suffer from a massive condition, and I can never say the word. Whenever I go, people ask me what it is. Whenever I go to the hospital, whenever I go to the GP, they're like, what is it that you're suffering from? I'm kind of like, here it is. Here's Google. That's the word. I'm not going to try and pronounce it. Anyway. But,
check your notes, it's on there.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you asking me for? That's your job. Anyway.
Why are you asking me? You should know.
War Games will be happening in 2 weeks' time, and I am very excited. Again, I'm still a bit pissed off that Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins are involved in a War Games match. They could have just had their own separate match and kind of gone for the third time at War Games. Would have been absolutely fine. Would have been like a street fight situation. Maybe even a cage. I don't know. They just didn't need to be involved in the War Games match. It could have been 4-on-4. That's my only issue at this moment in time. But next week, or this week coming up, actually, we do have the next AEW pay-per-view with so many matches. So many matches, too many matches, too many matches. I feel like AEW thinks they're Oprah. Just you get a match, you get a match, you get a match, you get a match. Too many matches. But obviously, as a person who watches AEW on a weekly basis, I have obviously been trying to convince the boys to come over to the dark side. And unfortunately, I've not been that successful. But we did have a roundtable discussion where we did sit down and I tried to get into the main issue. What was the main point of them not watching AEW, them not being dedicated? So we might as well get into that now. This is our roundtable discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone between, this is another roundtable discussion. And the family is all here today.
We're the ones.
All the family
is here.
It's
all about family.
Ones in the sky for the head of the table.
It's all about family.
All about family.
No, that's from a different episode. We are all about the family, Vin Diesel.
It's all about family here. We have been joined this week by Richard Wright.
Woohoo! Life.
It's good to be back after a long absence from the podcast of about 5 minutes.
Come on!
And Daddy's not.
Yeah, the Fluffy Boys are back. Fluffy Boys. Come on. Give him the fluffy D, boy.
Why is there so much more excitement on the other side of the table?
When they said you don't want to sit next to him, my tag team partner.
They just shook hands, Mark and Richard.
Well done.
And as always, I'm Sakisa, the head of the table.
Stone Cold Mark Crabb.
Mark Crabb just opened up a can and just split it open.
Open a can of whoop ass on your head.
Yeah, obviously.
Mark Crabb 316 says he just kicked your ass.
Obviously, I'm Sakisa, the head of the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Live the Apollo Sakisa.
And I've already regretted that everyone is here. But this week is a very special roundtable discussion, because if you are a regular listener, you will know that I very much do watch AEW on a regular basis.
Boring.
On a regular basis.
That's an interesting way to say that you're a virgin.
Zero GST.
Bitch, have you not seen me? Do I look like a virgin? Hello.
Oh, actually, fucks.
Okay, host of a wrestling podcast.
Yes, because I've always wanted to be a straight white man. Okay. And I've been trying to convince the boys over the last year or so to get them involved in the AEW viewing. And some people are very much reluctant, and AKA the Danny Scott is very much on the one end of the scale. He's very much like, no, negative.
Oui.
Some people, maybe like Mark and Richard, are very thinking about
it. Open to it.
Where does Ibs sit on the line?
Ibs is very much like, he watches it when he has time.
Ibs said to me reels of the some wrestlers.
Of some female wrestlers. Yeah.
What? No, some wrestlers.
Okay.
No, wrestlers.
So I would like to know from yourselves, what is essentially the issue, apart from the time and obviously watching way too much wrestling? Because fair enough.
That is probably the main one.
We are nerds. We are nerds. And you obviously being the boys of the podcast, you want to be in your boy era, your GSD era, fair play. Obviously not Richard.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Or just maybe you just want some time with your friends and to do your job, which is comedy.
Yeah.
Right.
But AEW is a great product. They have got some amazing wrestlers. Mm. They have got some amazing wrestling matches, which is substance and quality. Mm. And some of the things that, for example, Darby Allin does is crazy that you're never going to see her again. Fair play, slightly too much blood, aka John Moxley. Yeah. But the quality of the product is quite good. Compared to, for example, WWE, where sometimes they don't really put on some great matches. It's just more the picture perfect. Oh, two people in a match. They're going to do something. Flippy, flippy, flippy. Done.
Right.
Whereas
that's interesting.
AEW, I'm just saying sometimes. Whereas AEW don't really do that. They really do have always good quality matches.
Well, they've got the match Flippy Flippy. They've got Ricochet and Will Ospreay.
If I say, either company went, okay, which company talk about? Here's a match, flippy, 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 done. I was like, well, you're probably talking about AEW.
Mm. When, on the flippy Ricochet discussion, when did Ricochet start lagging? I don't know what's happened since my internet connection got slower since Ricochet went to AEW, or like, was he quicker in other promotions?
Well, I don't know, because I saw, did you see his little bitch fit on Twitter?
Oh, he's so sensitive.
He's lost that WWE.
Yeah, he literally went on Twitter like 2 days ago and was like, what the fuck is everyone's problem? What, since you all loved me in WWE, I went over to AEW and all of a sudden now I'm hated because I jumped to another side. And he was really bitching. He started talking about Samantha Irvin's Instagram, was like, you all simped for her and then you got annoyed at her for leaving, and I was there like, you're not making me want to watch AEW.
It's,
it's
a stressful time for Ricochet. Yeah. His wife's not working, not contributing. It's
she's contributing.
It's a tough time.
She's contributing. Oh, she's contributing.
Not following you down that road.
Do you know what? A lot of the things he said were true, but also you're just a bit boring. Like, he's like his his promo skills, like compared to all the different like cruiserweights that are about who have the promo, who can talk. Like Ricochet's been in numerous promotions, and like he's had the moves, but till this day, like we're still like everything about you should be a good promo, but you're really not a good promo, and I think that's his like crying shame.
Because AEW do have premier wrestlers.
Absolutely.
John Moxley, Will Ospreay, Mercedes Moné.
Wow, that's a nice
one.
She's excellent.
In fairness, she's excellent. She's
not Adam Cole. We've got
MJF. Chris Jericho.
Samoa Joe.
I mean, two of those.
Christian Cage.
Can I start off, because I feel like I am the most.
You are the most.
Okay. I think my issue, like the talent is great. What I will do is I will watch the matches of people that I care about, and there is actually quite a lot in AEW. Like I'm a big fan of Darby Allin, huge fan of Will Ospreay. I actually controversially quite enjoyed Jungle Boy matches like Jack Perry. I actually quite enjoy the storytelling and things like that. I like a lot of the wrestlers in there. I think for me, it like number one is time, like 100%. That is a time. Like I even watched NXT this week. Props to NXT, literally having, I think it was like out of the five matches on the card, maybe six, four of them were female matches. I was like, big
again,
up
TNA.
TNA did the same this week.
Yeah, like big up Shawn Michaels and big up TNA for like, you know, like stacked. Respect it. I was watching going, fuck, is there another female match? That's sick. That's so good. I just think I'm not compelled by any storytelling at all on the product. Like, I quite enjoyed the whole devil angle with MJF.
Until the ending.
Yeah, until the ending. There wasn't a good ending, but not everyone can be great at storytelling. That's fine. I just think there's not a lot there that's getting me interested. I think that's all it is. Like, the quality of the matches, you're right, they are good. And I'll watch All In, and that's like a fucking 16-hour pay-per-view or whatever it is. And I'll watch it all, and I really enjoy every single match. I go, why don't I watch this more? Try to watch Dynamite or Collision and shit, and I'm like, it's just, I'm a bit bored. Like, I'm just not gripped by it. I think that's what it is. Like, we can all agree, WWE's long-term storytelling is
incredible.
Next to nothing. It's so good. And also, you've got to understand that there's nostalgia moments in there. You bring back The Rock. So there's lots of things for me as a kid. I think that's my thing, is like, I've got nothing there to bring me back to being a child watching wrestling.
Which is my main thing with AEW. Interesting about that, because like, usually when you see something from the ground up from day one, it's something that you should be attached to and be like, all right, I've seen it from day one. You should keep going. I bet you there's loads of people who watched WWF when it finally became WWF, and they were like, this is a new thing we can like latch onto. And they became lifelong fans. I feel at the start, I was all in.
Well, you're right though, at the start with Young Bucks, when they started, I was actually quite invested as well.
But I think lately it's just been a lot, like, considering, for me personally, I think like the TV deal that they have in the UK is a bit rubbish. It's not as easy accessible in the UK unless you want to pay for Fight TV.
It's on ITV.
Yeah, but it's always on like 10 minutes like,
when the chase is on, so you got to make a decision. Yeah.
Fucking love
and
the chase.
And also, if you watch
the chase, Bradley Wolf, incredible.
Shout out, Paul.
The time that is on in the UK, if you watch the whole episode, you miss the first 10 minutes of SmackDown, which is small, but then when you know that SmackDown on TNT is another annoying service that you have to deal with, to try and intertwine like all of them, it kind of puts you in like a, you kind of need to make a choice. There is too much wrestling. And come on, guys, like, you man got like a show on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sometime Friday, if you ain't got a pay-per-view Saturday, guys, like, and it's the same thing.
It's a lot.
And you're not rewarded. Like, I remember that WWE's biggest problem, a while back was, they didn't reward you for not, like, they didn't reward you for watching.
No.
And they didn't punish you for not watching. Like, if I know that they're going to slap a massive countdown thing day before the pay-per-view, I could just watch that and be like, right, I know what's going on. I can watch the pay-per-view. That's like, whereas WWE, you kind of need to be like, oh, like, even with the top 10, you can watch the top 10s, but you still don't know what everything that happened.
Yeah, but what WWE do is they do those recap things. Like, that's a good thing. So if I tap into Dynamite, I've, like, WWE, as much as I will skip through it, because I have watched it.
Yeah.
Those recap things, and when they recap storyline moments, is I don't know if AEW, because I'm just not there. And also, you mentioned about the blood earlier. I actually think that's a selling point of AEW. I actually quite enjoy the blood and gore and like that. Personally, I quite like it. John Moxley, the way he is, I fucking love that.
It's well, a tricky wank, but
yeah. I've got to shut my eyes and
you talked about nostalgia regarding... You talked about nostalgia. Obviously, AEW have acquired quite a lot of ex-WWE talent, which, for example, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
They've been going on for, like, what, 30 years? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's nostalgia, okay. Mark.
Which of the AEW, WWE acquisitions have actually added value, though? So Jericho in the early stages definitely
Jericho.
Added
value.
But now he's a drain on the company.
Christian.
Punk, when he originally pulled up.
Punk popped the ratings, but ultimately has caused them more problems than I think they would do. Samoa Joe, they obviously put the title on him, but
Christian's
been great. Christian's been fantastic. I mean, I'm not going to call him an ex-WWE
Daniel Bryan, but to be honest, Christian, FTR. And also when we're talking about Christian, like everyone respects Christian and treats him as a big star apart from Vince in WWE.
Yeah.
Sting added value. I'm reticent to call Sting an ex-WWE star, but he's an ex-star from somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think the problem they have is they bring in so many people and so much goes in. Every month there's a new star debuting, so you never get any like track. Like, you've got to remember, it's like Daniel Bryan debuted in the same month as CM Punk.
Yeah. So you,
or Bryan Danielson.
You're making
which
a perfect point.
It's a ridiculous point. Why would you have done that?
Same night as Adam Cole.
Same night as Adam Cole.
That's a perfect point, though. Mm. Like, because when WWE brought in AJ Styles, you had a whole roster of people that we already cared about and they were WWE. Mm. AJ Styles come in and you're like, this is mad. AEW bring in someone from WWE, you go, yeah, of course you have.
Do you remember the moment when AJ Styles gets in the ring with John Cena for the first time and the crowd?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because they want this, but not there's like when people coming from AEW, I'll be like, Edge coming Adam Copeland coming in is a huge get.
Yeah,
but then his most interesting stuff he's done there has been with Christian, which is we've seen before. Like the stuff that Adam Copeland has done in AEW is like, I know they had the great good stuff with the House of Black and stuff, but you're just like, but there's nothing I was excited to see Adam Copeland do in AEW.
Mm. Well, what about Daniel Bryanson?
Bryan Danielson. It's an easy mistake to make.
It's so annoying.
Two first names.
For example, Bobby Lashley has come into AEW, him versus Swerve.
But like I said, the guys that they're getting, it's not like, oh my God, like, if Seth Rollins pulled up on AEW, you'd be like, fuck, this is big.
Who is a big
all
star?
These dons getting, who are leaving, you're like, well, like, it's sad to see you leave WWE, but at the end of the day, you wasn't really doing much at the time.
Who's a WWE guy that would actually go to AEW and move?
Roman Reigns.
You're looking for the Christian going to TNA sort of move. Someone that's actually doing well in the company, but wants to go. Mox was probably the closest.
Like a Sami Zayn, maybe, if he pulled up.
Sami and Kev aren't going to leave WWE.
No.
But so you're looking at Becky Lynch. If they could get Becky Lynch,
I don't think he will. But the problem, I have numerous problems. And the Bobby Lashley thing is a good one to point out, right? Because AEW have shiny new toy syndrome. Mm. So Tony,
such a good fucking analogy. Well done. This is why you're the goat. Yeah.
Tony,
that is such a good analogy.
Tony Khan loves to sign people, loves to bring in the star, loves to like have his new thing. But then after a short while, he doesn't know what to do with them. You know? And it's, when you've already got the roster size they have, when you bring in somebody and if you don't have firm plans for them, good plans, they get lost in the shuffle so quickly. I'm really looking forward to 4 or 5 months that Hurt Business having 6-man tag matches on Collision. And that's all they've been doing. Do you know what I mean? I think they have problems with storytelling. Mm. I think they have too much TV time for their ability to tell stories.
Absolutely.
Because, fine, yeah, I get it. They have incredible matches. Incredible matches. But I just spent the weekend watching New Japan and Defy and Tokyo Joshi Pro, and they all have great matches.
Mm.
All your top indies have tremendous matches. So that's not a draw to me to AEW because I can watch great wrestling so many places now. So you've got to give me more. If you're a true top national promotion, you have to be telling me stories.
Do you think there is a problem, therefore, in terms of connection with the audience because it is so saturated? For example, some people are just getting lost in the roster. And obviously with the tie-in with Ring of Honor, now where they're bringing that belt onto AEW. Mm. For example, I'm thinking about Ricky Starks. Where is Ricky Starks? Yeah. There's a problem.
It feels like with WWE, it feels like the difference between AEW and WWE, which probably like it feels at in AEW that the roster's full, but they probably have a less roster than WWE. Like,
also, you have people coming out. Ricky Starks is coming out in interviews saying that I am fit. I can wrestle. They are just not booking me. And that's not what you want your talent coming out and saying. No. And also, the match, like, people are getting hurt a lot in AEW. And I think the reason is because they're not wrestling regularly.
No.
Because yeah, they don't wrestle a full schedule. No. Their bottles aren't. So some of them might like Ricky Starks has wrestled about 3 matches this year. It's crazy. Like, he was one of the most over guys in the company 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think there's a conversation around, like, because AEW started with saying that we're going to give a lot of creative freedom to all our wrestlers to do what they want.
Which is great. Right?
Which is great. Yeah. But do you think having so many wrestlers having that creative freedom, trying to do all these different things, you've got Malakai Black, you've got all these people trying to do different things, that we are now lost in all these things. Where WWE, yeah, they might be stumping some wrestlers, but it means we care more about the bloodline because that's like the one story arc, right? Like if you had on EastEnders, for example, fucking a massive storyline, huge, like taking over the episode in every single fucking family on Albert Square, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? This is mad, which does kind of happen.
But the thing is,
but I mean, maybe that has stumped him a little bit too. There's a reason there's a formula to professional wrestling and entertainment.
So the thing that I feel about AEW is like, you know, when you watch EastEnders at Christmas, you're a bit confused.
Glad we've got the EastEnders watching it.
Like, but you shouldn't, like, that's the vibe. You're just a bit confused. Like, you know, you can see what's happening, but you don't know what's going on. And that's what you feel like.
You're like, someone's going to die.
Yeah, someone's gonna die. All of a sudden, someone's drinking someone else's blood. Mad ting.
They build to stuff that matters. Yeah. Like logical storytelling. You'll get Ian Beale kicking a random episode of March saying the Queen Vic's mine now.
Exactly.
Is it built to Ian Beale taking the pub?
Yeah, but AEW kind of do that, didn't it? They just whack Ian Beale in Queen Vic.
That's Ian Beale.
Randomly.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, my God, it's Ian Beale. It's Ian Beale. For the love of God.
He's in the House of Black.
Ian Beale, don't do it.
To the
you bastard.
To the people who are not British.
Ian Beale's a hero. Don't explain Ian Beale.
Just fucking Google Ian Beale.
Put some respect on Adam Woodyatt's name.
Come on. He'll be doing panto soon, you dick.
You know what? You're probably right. Adam Woodyatt is definitely doing a panto somewhere. If you know where Adam Woodyatt is doing panto, what panto it is, I reckon I'm going to guess right now, Adam Woodyatt is Captain Hook in a Peter Pan's.
In Bristol.
Adam Woodyatt.
Bristol, also, I'm thinking that Welling Gardens. Yeah.
Hold on.
Stoke-on-Trent.
He just drops in something massive to the podcast.
I've worked with Barry from EastEnders.
You worked with Sean Williams.
Sean Williams.
Did you do karaoke?
No. I did a radio play with him, and he was doing a line, and he fucked up. And so everyone told me before the record, don't mention Barry from EastEnders. And during the record, I went, this is why Janine pushed you down a hill. And he went, yeah, fair enough. And he's got me on Facebook now, wishing me happy birthday every year. Sean Williams, if you're watching, hello, mate.
And before you get mad about us going off topic, technically Zack Sabre Jr. has a finishing move called Barry from EastEnders, so we are still on top.
Yeah! 2011, Carol singing extra in EastEnders.
Oh.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
TV was show. You actually? Oh, yeah. Okay.
What are you talking about? Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Sick, bro.
Was that on your Edinburgh poster?
Possibly at one point, possibly.
I
feel how angry she is.
Do you think
wrestle club?
Have we got time to talk about cake again on this one?
Fuck off.
Keita,
wait.
Everybody loves cake.
Do you think if AEW, for example, on their pay-per-views had less matches, would you be more dedicated to watch?
100%.
Yes, 100%.
And if they had storylines.
But what's very hypocritical, I bet you there's a lot of AEW fans that used to take the mick out of WWE's WrestleManias when it was like 7 hours long. But then if you like an AEW pay-per-view, like, it's a 2-day watch for me. Like, I can't watch it all in one go.
Didn't we watch it on my birthday? My birthday was taken. By the way, if you ever fucking have a go at me for not watching AEW, on my actual birthday, me, Ibs and Zakuta watched All in Edinburgh. We ordered a massive Chinese.
No,
great,
but you don't understand.
But we watched the whole thing. It took us all day, Richard.
He has to have that random six-man tag on the kickoff show. Yeah, he has to have it.
But I spent my actual birthday watching this bollocks. And also, it was
why?
wait a minute. You could only get two people to come to your birthday. Is that what?
No, there was other people there, but they're not worth mentioning.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Tasha was there. No, Tasha
Cluster. Yeah, Bill was there.
The other person didn't matter.
Adam Woodgett was there.
Yeah, Adam Woodgett was there.
Wow.
Holy shit. Who was the other person?
Shane.
I'm going to summarise my problems with AEW very quickly.
Go on.
First of all, it's a shit name.
AEW?
Yeah. All Elite Wrestling is a shit name for a promotion.
Yeah, but isn't not that like the
main central is started,
yeah, but it's not World Championship Wrestling or World Wrestling Federation or
Extreme Championship Wrestling.
It's shit.
It's got
championship football energy.
Because it's named after a fucking YouTube series that hardly anyone fucking watches in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. So that you got that for a second problem is it's I sort of alluded to this on a previous podcast. It's the buses thing. Because like they have so many great matches. Yes, Will Ospreay's a great match every week. Fantastic. That means you cannot watch a Will Ospreay match because he's going to have another one in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if you don't see it. It's not an event. It's not Punk versus Drew in a Hell in a Cell. It's not War Games. There's nothing. They don't build to anything. WWE have this thing where every event, like the way they're booking their stories now especially, it's like you're building to a season finale.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like WrestleMania was a season finale. The War Games is going to be a season finale. And everything they do is built like that. AEW, I don't see what they're building to. Single match is just a match.
Do you not do that with London pay-per-view that they did, All In, All Out?
Yeah, but what do you think they're building to? What do you think the main event is in London?
And this is going to be rare. I'm going to stick up for AEW. Do you think it's because they haven't been going for as long?
I think it's because they've not got as good bookers. I think Tony Khan doesn't know what he's doing.
Is that, but what
Tony Khan.
I think it's just
But what they're doing is they're throwing a lot of money into the company, getting all these big names in, and that's what they're doing right now. But genuinely, if you give them 5-6 years or whatever it is and let them build those, like, that's what they need to do now is start putting those breadcrumbs in now. So in 5 years, you're teasing like a Will Ospreay and MJ. Do you know what I mean? Something where we're like, and then you get it. But the thing is, they're going, we've got this great two talents and let's fight them.
Let's do it. No. You're like, we already had the
Ricochet
Ospreay.
Like a kid, like you said, like a kid with a shiny new toy. They go, I want these two wrestlers to fight now.
It's Tony
like,
Khan. He's got his figures and he's going to make them fight.
Yeah, calm down. Like, build
the problem
it.
They have as well.
They calm it down.
Calm down.
Yeah. I did say that.
He did say that.
I'm a comedic genius.
100% said that.
Oh, right. Head of the table.
The problem they have right now is you say they need 5 years to build and do stuff, and I get that entirely. But WWE are on the other side of the fence, are in the most financially secure position they've ever been. They have a Netflix deal. They're going to reach the biggest audience they've ever reached. Mm-hmm. And they're already synonymous with wrestling. They are now going to be completely, they are wrestling.
Yeah.
Every other promotion is just not WWE. AEW is just not WWE. TNA is just not WWE. ROH, GCW, they're all just not. But what I like about GCW and not TNA and ROH, not even ROH, not ROH, but old school ROH, is these promotions have their own identity. Like ECW had, because they were an alternative, they were different. AEW, other than the match quality, it just feels a bit like it's still trying to be a shitter WWE.
Because TNA I'll watch because they're doing their thing.
Yeah, TNA, like they just has a vibe.
It was so weird because it started as with the intention, or at least verbally said, talks about being an alternative. AEW it had like a hardcore division, it had your guys doing deathmatch stuff, it had the facets of being like, they've all got these different parts of our product, so everyone can have a little something they like. And they set out to be like, we're going to treat wrestlers differently, all this sort of stuff. We are an alternative. And as it went on, it became more and more that Tony Khan is just trying to have his big company. Mm. Like, the comparisons to WCW have been made.
I feel like he's doing too much. I think that's what it is. I think maybe it's the thing to he's trying to impress himself. This is the first time he's like our daddy's sort of like leech, because he's like obviously been working under him at Fulham and like the Jaguars. This is kind of his first opportunity to be him. And I think he's just like, okay, now I've got this opportunity, I'm going to pull out all the stops. And maybe having all of this
is too much. And they need to get a fucking booker. Come on, bro. Like, yeah. I know you're part of like the internet wrestling mafia like we are, but you need to find someone who's verse. But is there a booker out here to do it?
Yes.
There's like,
you know who'd be great working with AEW?
If you say Gangrel,
Jim
I'll kill you.
E. Cornette, ladies and gentlemen. Bring him in. Get him to work with a bastard. I love it.
Okay. The thing is, they've got people backstage like RJ City, like Will Washington, who are really working hard on storylines.
Mm. Yeah.
And the best things you're seeing in AEW are coming from them. So he just needs to trust them more.
Yeah. Like, I don't need, to be honest, I don't need to see Jake the Snake being a manager. Like, no. To a random, like...
We don't care.
You stable. Hush your bitch mouth.
No, I'm not.
Wow. No, sorry. That's a real...
How dare you?
No, that's he's not being utilised.
No.
He's not being utilised within AEW. And that was what I was going to say. Okay, right. To end...
All that DDP yoga was for nothing. Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me that Jake Roberts' rehabilitation back to the wrestling industry does not matter to you? You okay. Call yourself a wrestling fan? You should be ashamed of yourself. The A should stand for Ashamed Elite Wrestling. That's how bad this is. Jake Roberts is an icon in this industry who has worked hard to get himself back to where he belongs.
DDP saved his life.
And you're going to sit here, a woman with no wrestling experience.
Okay, to end the segment.
I'm sorry, that was too far.
We got to end the segment.
I'm glad you got a rin out of it, though.
Okay. To end the segment.
Oh, God, that was brilliant. Like,
What will AEW need to do in 2025 for you to get on board? Very briefly, Mark.
More Jake Roberts. What will they need to do in 2025? Yeah, it sounds like a broken record. We've all said this before. Focus a bit more on the women's division. Give us something.
I honestly don't know because I just don't care.
Have less shows and make us give a fuck, because right now we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I couldn't say better. Less shows, and tell me a story.
Less shows, less titles.
And just tell me a story.
Less shows, less titles.
You want to hear a story? You want to hear a story of a man who overcame his addictions and got back to wrestling?
Scott Hall.
Shut your bitching mouth. Well, we've run out of time, you bitches.
Let us know your thoughts regarding AEW. Obviously, are you watching? Are you not watching? Are you in and out? What is your vibe? What can they do in 2025 to make the product better? This has obviously been a Wrestle Club UK podcast. Please do like and subscribe. Obviously, if you have anything, please do it in the comments. Obviously, we are all here. The family is here today. It's been chaos, but it has been actually really eventful. We are the ones. We are the ones. All the ones.
We are the ones.
Wrestle Club podcast. Woo! And we're back. And we are back. Obviously, it got a bit heated at times. I got called a bitch by Mark Crabb. I feel like that's the meme of the year for the podcast. Mark Crabb just calling me out at the end. I think it has been the highlight of everyone's week. And it's also really nice that we were all able to be together. All five of us on the podcast were able to sit down and talk about AEW in our roundtable discussion. If you did agree with any of our thoughts, please do let us know. If you didn't agree with anything that anyone said, please do let us know. I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen moving forward into 2025 for AEW, whether they are going to learn some lessons, taking some feedback, especially when it goes to storylines and the viewers' numbers. But mainly, it's going to be a lovely pay-per-view. I don't think Orange Cassidy is going to win the AEW Championship, but I am really, really looking forward to seeing Bobby Lashley versus Swerve. That's going to be a match, and I cannot wait for that. Some other matches I am looking forward to. The women's division is not one of them, and I'm really sad to say that. You know me. I'm really sad to say that. The tag team, the four-way tag team match, which involves
the Knights of the Black Throne. Yes. I do love them. I really want them to be back champions. But apart from that, this has been another episode of the
best aesthetic of any group I've seen. Wow. I'm just checking them out now.
Yeah, the entrance, the entrance into the ring, the poise, the attitude in the ring. It's all about, it's in general, everyone knows how much I love Malakai Black. But the whole group in general, and obviously they're missing a member who is rumoured to be coming back. We look forward to seeing what's going to happen with that. But all three of them in the ring is amazing. Two of them in the ring is amazing. Singular, amazing. I just wish AEW did more for them. Do more, because it's just a great concept. It's a great vibe. People are on board with it. Push it further, which is obviously an ongoing issue with AEW. But we'll see what happens after the pay-per-view this week. Let us know your thoughts. The boys have not given any predictions because obviously I'm the only one that watches AEW. But I'm going to give you my recommendations and thoughts, maybe online, but also we're going to talk about them in detail next week because hopefully the boys would have watched the episode and the pay-per-view. So we'll figure that out, innit? Let's see if I've changed their mind after this week's roundtable discussion. Apart from that, my name's been Sakisa. This has been another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. The head of the table is signing out with our producer, Tim.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, all.
And I'm expecting Tim to be watching AEW.
All right, I'll go.
We'll see. Wrestle Club Podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Who is the kisser? It's her and her friend. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!